Okay, sir, would you state your name and ADC number for the record this time, sir?
Yes, sir, good morning. My name is Derek Wade Brennan. ADC number is 321458.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. You appear before us on the Board of Executive Tennessee for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information we have, you were notified of this hearing back on December the 18th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And on that, stated among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself today, sir?
That is correct, sir.
And as you can see, there are five board members participating in your hearing today, and may I introduce them to you. On your left, if you look to your left, well, that would be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, then on the other side of myself would be the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Rudy Kiwanis. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair for your hearing today. We also have in the room with us today a gentleman that you can see there, and that is Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of today. And Mr. Brennan and Mr. Westby, I have one question for both of you. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and that you God of you so far?
Thank you, sir. I do.
Thank you so very much. And as I indicated, sir, you have one allegation on your warrant. I am going to read it, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it is true or false? And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at Central Arizona Shelter Services, CAST 230 South 12th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about October 1st, 2018. The whereabouts was unknown, thus she was an astronomer from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, correct allegation, sir.
So that is true, you mean it is true, sir?
Yes, sir, it is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Brennan, I'm going to find that he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal range or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Yes, sir, we're going to prepare to go into phase two of your hearing. In phase two of your hearing, the board at the end of phase two will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. We begin phase two by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. Once we get that information, then we're going to come back, speak with you, let you tell the board anything that you would like to tell the board before the board makes its determination. So at this time, we're going to get some background information, and we're going to request Mr. Westby if he would provide us with that information. Mr. Westby, sir.
Yes, sir. September 21st, 2018, Mr. Brandon was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested December 10th, 2018 by the PNC when he was stopped for loitering and a business. He was back in DOC custody on December 10th, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of March 29, 2019, 70 extended days. Current conviction, 2017, aggravated assault, 2 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal, with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2007, aggravated assault, Texas, felony conviction, state prison. His community risk score is a G1B1.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Westby. Okay, we're back to you, sir, and I'm going to just make a few statements from your case supervision summary. And it seems that when you were released, you were approved to stay at Rebound Assistance Association at 2546 West a street in Phoenix, and then you went to the Honors Health Deer Valley Medical Center due to having medical issues, and then once you were released from there, you were approved to stay at the Central Arizona Shelter Services, CAS, 230 South 12th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona, and you did not establish residence there at CAS for some reason. Why didn't you establish residence at CAS, sir?
Part of the reason was, one, I was at the medical center, which took me out on the street, and I do wouldn't allow me to come into a building for a shelter, and the other was, shortly after that, I had another health issue and ended up at John Lincoln Seal Hospital.
So you ended up at what hospital, you said, sir? I just didn't hear you.
John Lincoln Seal.
Okay, so
my books.
So did you report to your parole officer that you was at John Lincoln, sir?
No, sir. Yes, I did. Actually, I don't recall whether I did or if I didn't. Mm-hmm. I knew afterwards, because when I ended up in Deer Valley, I immediately went back to my parole officer, and then after that went to CAS, and then I ended up getting sick again, and then they took me to John C. Lincoln and North Phoenix, and I can't recall. I took him to contact him several times. I left messages on this machine in his office and was unable to return back over from Phoenix to Mesa because I had been running to a transit and I wanted to get there, and being sick at the time, that near 16-18 mile walk would have been impossible for me to do.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I attempted to call, and I tried to call several times.
Okay, sir. Mr. Do you have anything about John C. Lincoln Hospital or anything that was going on around the time that he was...
The only thing I see is information that is already in the warrant that where he was released, the request was designed at CAS. The appeals went to Bill Rose went to CAS and attempted to make contact with him. They looked him up in the database. Records indicated he had never resided at CAS. He didn't make any contact with the assigned parole officer to advise his new place of residence. He didn't, his whereabouts were unknown. They made attempts to locate him to hospitals and also to the jail, and they were unable to locate him. They attempted to locate him through his emergency contact, his mother, and left a message and never received any response from his mother. So, but as far as receiving any messages from him, there's nothing notated here.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for sharing that with the board, sir. Okay, now, let me just ask this, Mr. Brennan, when you went to Deer Valley, medical situation. What was going on? So what type of medical situation did you have that you ended up going to Honors Health in Deer Valley, sir? What was going on, sir?
I was on the first night of work with I was on my first night at work and I had problems. And I was working with a street sweeping company, and the driver of the truck basically abandoned me in Deer Valley. He left after I told him I wasn't feeling well, I wasn't going to be able to come sleep the mic. And he became angry with me and basically left me, abandoned me at the Walmart in Deer Valley. And so from there, I got to the nearest place for a phone, which was a Circle K down the street, and called for EMS to come pick me up. That's what ended me up in the Deer Valley Hospital.
And how long did you stay at Deer Valley Hospital, sir? How long did you stay?
About 9 days.
About 9 days, okay. And then...
Well,
go ahead, sir.
my parole officer. I'm sorry.
Just relax, sir. Just relax. Don't get excited. Just relax.
Yes, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Can you repeat the question, please?
No, I was just asking, you know, you were just telling me what happened after you left the owner's health program in Deer Valley, and you said that you got something to go to the train to go to see the parole officer. And so you went to see the parole officer, and the parole officer wanted you to go to CASP, and you just didn't make it last year.
Actually, I do make the CASP. I'm sorry, the storm's coming down. I'm really not sure. I moved to CASP after I went back to the Apple House to try to obtain my possessions. I went to CASP. They made me an ID, and they told me that I was going to be on every floor. So I kept searching for a place to stay. The other floor was basically staying overnight out on the street, and which wasn't conducive to my health. So to me, and this is why I tried to call back to my parole officer. I had no one just to name Mesa number, and I really couldn't remember what my parole officer's name was. Since I was really new to him, I had no documentation making help me in that area, so I was trying to find help and couldn't find help. So
may I just ask this, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but during this whole period, were you on any kind of medication, sir?
Yes, sir, yes.
So what kind of medication were you on, sir?
Some sort of blood thinner, which, and baby aspirins, which actually, I don't know, the reason why it caused me to be back in the hospital when I was in North Phoenix. I asked the police officers there to, I made contact with law enforcement to do business and asked them to arrive or to call AMS to take me to John Lincoln Theater, which was the closest hospital. And I stayed there for about 6 or 7 days, 5 or 6 days. When I got there, I was in a dreamlike state. I didn't really. I was totally exhausted. I ended up being in the hospital for about 5 or 6 days, and then when I got out, I went back to CAS, and they once again put me in the overflow position, which did have more veterans' beds available. They put me on the street, they told me, they put me back until I was sick on the street, basically. Wait until there was a bed open. And I kept coming back every morning for a bed to be open. And I just kept feeling worse and worse. And I was still trying to take the medicine and going out.
Let me ask this, sir. Are you on any type of medication at this time, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Is it helping you to feel better, to get everything together again physically and mentally?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm on the blood thinners again, and I'm taking baby aspirins here. I feel well. I feel healthy.
Let me ask this, sir, now. Whether this board lets you out now or you get out in March, what are your plans? I mean, what do you plan to do? Are you going to be out on the streets, or what are your plans, sir?
My plan is to go back to Phoenix, to go to CAS, and work the system there, which has been set up to help people who want to get a job. I think I want to get a job being part-time if I can't find other work, because they put 3 steps in my heart. I'm not sure that I'm not going to go back to construction, so I may have to apply for some sort of disability or some sort of aid, and I'm not sure. Really, I'm just going to investigate that entirely, because I'm a little bit afraid to exert myself too much, because of the stents in my heart. Now, this is, I'm just turned 50 years old, and I never did expect this would happen to me. involved in it, but we can justify it very shortly. So my promise was...
Let me just ask this, did you say that while you were out, at some point while you were released, you had a job, sir? They left you, the truck left you or something, sir?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work were you doing, sir?
I was working as a driver for one of the sweeper trucks.
Okay.
And it was my first night on the job, and the manager was instructing me. I went back to that job. I worked it before when I was on probation, and I stayed in contact with that company, and the day I got out, I went back over there, and he rehired me. And the driver, he sent me out with that night to do the training, because he was going to retrain me in a different area. He put me on a boiler backpack and said I had to go out there and know how to do it from the ground up. And I said, well, I hired him to be a driver. And we did Walmart parking lots, driving and sweeping. And he was, I was trying to show me where he thought I should be trained. So that's where it brought on my heart attack. So by telling him I wasn't doing well, he just basically abandoned me. So yes, I had a job.
Okay. I'm glad you had a job, and I'm sorry that it didn't turn out well for you. I think you already told me, but let me just ask this one other question. What were you doing when the Phoenix police picked you up, sir?
I was washing my bicycle at the car wash.
And what happened? They just came to the car wash and picked you up, sir?
Yes, sir. We just pulled up the car wash. I had a bicycle and a couple of bags out that I was rushing the door up there. And he told me that this was a car wash, not a clothes wash, or not a bag washing place. And he arrested me. And I told him that I had a probation, I went on parole violation. So if you're running, I was going to have a parole violation. That allowed me to get out of my property and possessions that I had at the time, over to a person who was there with me. So I was up on a hospital officer and came back. I didn't want to lose all the property I had, my bicycle and my bikes, my clothes.
Okay, sir. At this time, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you. So, any questions, distinguished board members? The Honorable Mr. Johnson has a question for you, sir.
So, is there a reason why when you got out of the hospital, you didn't go back to the facility you were in? I believe it was reborn.
The second time or the first time, sir?
The first time when you went in the hospital and then you were released and you went to CAS.
Yes, sir. I went immediately to my parole officer's office from the time I got released the first time from Dewey Valley.
Uh-huh.
I went immediately to my parole officer's, and then I went from my parole officer's immediately to the reborn assistance. And they already threw away all of my property, and they would allow me back into the facility. And that's when I went from there straight to CAS. And they gave me an ID card at CAS so I could get on campus and use the facilities. But I never was actually checked into CAS in a bed in a building. I was always on overflow, which meant that I had to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and get in a line and get on a list. And if they had bed space available, which at that time they had no bed space available. So that put me out on the street. So yes, I did return back to three more assistants.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Any further questions by board members? Hearing none. Okay, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, sir, but this is your hearing.
Yes, sir.
I want to give you an opportunity to make the final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion. So is there anything else you want to tell the board, sir?
I'd like to tell the board, sir, that give me the opportunity to go back to CAS, and then CAS is so close to the parole officers, and they Mason and surround down the line from dirt. I would do things differently than I did before, in the sense that I didn't have what I needed. Because the first time I went in, I had all the documentation in my wallet, and by the time I ended up at the hospital in Deer Valley, I had no documentation, I had no wallet, I had nothing, because the driver of that truck, I put in the glove box, my wallet, and it had all my contact information with Carol. He left, and then when I called the work to try to get my wallet from him while I was in the hospital, I was basically stuck out there. No one would take me as a phone, and I didn't have, I can do things differently, in the sense of give the guys a better effort to stay there and use the facilities like they should be used, which are for people like myself who need help, you know, in obtaining the direction for medical attention, which I'm going to need, and for the best of my life now that I have these two stents in my heart. I need calcium, which is going to be available there at CAS as well. And I hope to have my ready to go to work. I hope this hasn't been in there. So, going to CAS is basically whether you let me out and really send my parole, or if I really get in, all you're taking from me is my ability to use my parole officer. If I go to the end date, I'm going to be out with nobody. Because the reason we couldn't contact my family was I really had no family. I totally finished the start of my life and ended up getting myself in trouble. And I had no one but me. So I'm hoping that you'll lead me in parole so I can use my parole officer for help, for guidance. Because I really don't know what to do when I leave this facility and then go home. That's one more resource I'm going to be able to obtain and hold on to. I know maybe just for a short period of 70 extra days, but 70 extra days on parole, I could use that. I could use that extra help being on parole instead of giving to my inmate and being let go. And I would kind of just be, as CAS would be my only resource, which I'm going to use. Just trying to keep my options open to have as many resources available to me as possible.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much. Now the board is going into discussion. I'm going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion, but stay on the phone. Don't hang up. And the board will make a decision. And after we have this discussion, the board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation with Mr. Bannon. His situation, I guess, went, as one might say, I might say, went from bad to worse and everything else. Doesn't just seem to have worked out for him. When he was released, of course, he was to go to Reborn, and then he ended up at the hospital up there in Deer Valley, and he's supposed to be at CAS, but the parole officer did not have anything, as he said, that he was... He had a card for it to be at CAS, but he was never really checked in, per se. There, we had two hospital stays, according to him. One of them we cannot verify by the information that's been provided to the board. And it's just a very sad situation. But to make a long story short, from my perspective, I'm going to only speak for myself and not for any other board member, then I'll open up to other board members. I think that it would be in his best interest, as well as the best interest of the citizens of Arizona, for him to complete his stay as being incarcerated until his release date. The reason I'm saying that, I would hope that he would be able to work with his CO3. So that when he get out this time, he have somewhere to go. I just wouldn't want to leave him out there again, just on his own, and try to go to CAS, and which may or may not work. And if it does not work, he end up in the hospital with heart attacks and everything else. I just think it'd be best if he worked with his CO3 and try to have something worked out. So when he gets out at the end of March, that he'll be in a position to go out and at least survive and not end up reincarcerated or end up creating other legal or non-legal problems once he's released. That's just my feeling, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Okay, hearing nothing else from other board members, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be based upon our discussion with Mr. Bannon, as well as information contained in warrant number 2018-W3166. I'm going to move that based, also based upon the fact that Mr. Bannon did abscond for some 70 days, that he was hospitalized on a couple of occasions, and the fact that he does not have according to him, he does not have any relatives in Arizona to look after him. Therefore, I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision at this time. That is my motion.
Second.
Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, we have, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. However, according to information we have, you will be released on March the 29th of this year. And at that time, we would ask, we hope that you, between now and then, that you go immediately and start working with your CO3 and help, ask them to help you to put together a program. So this time when you get out, you won't just be out there on your own, so that you know where you're going and what you're going to do. We wish you the best, and please, sir, just work with that CO3. So that when you get out, we won't see you again, and when we see you again, you just be a good citizen out there, you know, helping others and doing a great job out in the community. So this is going to end your hearing, sir. Thank you so much for your participation. And if you could just lay the phone down and ask the CO3 if the CO3 could come back in and speak with the board. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.